January P&Z work session. I just want to start by giving you a little bit of update on our next meeting. The agenda and staff report items are ready and will be sent to you later this afternoon. Won't be as long as your last month, this month's meeting. Only have three items on the agenda, two lakefronts, and then establishing some zoning and future land use on the properties that were recently annexed on Kentucky. And that's about it. Shouldn't be a very long meeting. Today, we are here to talk about the artificial turf ordinance. And we have our friends from Public Works here to facilitate the discussion and update you on the changes since the last time you saw this turf ordinance a few months ago. So with that, I'm going to introduce you to Troy Attaway, Don Marcotte, and Matt Noonan from Public Works.
Okay.
Can
you hear me okay?
Yeah. I also have the ordinance up on the screen. Can everyone see it?
Allison, when are we going to be voting on the ordinance? Is that coming up in February as well?
No.
March?
Yes, depending on how today's discussion goes.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for allowing us the opportunity again to bring this to you.
Sorry, real quick, Don. Allison, would you zoom in a little bit just to make sure that it's in whole page view? That's it. Very good. I think everybody can see that.
Can't see what everyone else sees. My apologies.
I know. I've been there when you're running the controls, you're going blind. But no, I think this is good, and I'll try to help guide you as we go along. Sorry, Don, you're good.
No, it's all right. Again, thank you for allowing us this opportunity. We did take your comments that we had last time we brought this to you, and we realized it wasn't very well cooked by the city attorney. And this version, which we believe covers everything that we need it to cover, has been well reviewed and prepared by the city attorney. Just to start out with, I want to let you know, the board, that this is something that we really need your help on. We are getting inundated with a lot of installations that are done improperly. And last year there was three installations that had to be removed because they were done improperly. One as recent as the holidays, like right before Christmas. There's some... I'm sorry.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
This is Troy. I wanted to just update when you say the word improperly, I don't know that it's necessarily improper. It was installed in a manner where it is impervious, not pervious.
Correct. These applications, these installations were done in areas where the particular lot was pervious, wherever those areas were, and they were put down, the artificial turf was put down as pervious material and without permit. And so therefore these particular ones that I'm talking about were done in an impervious installation and had to be removed. So we're dealing with one right before Christmas. Anyway, this ordinance here covers everything for the impervious installation, which is very simple. It's like laying concrete. You don't really have any special requirements for that. It's all going to be added to your impervious coverage on your lot, which is the maximum of 50%. So the pervious installation is what we focused our attention on. And, you know, we want to make sure that everything is done according to manufacturer specs. There's certain types of turf that we don't agree that there would ever be pervious. So we specified a woven back material for the turf. The underlying materials, which recently we've seen some that weren't previously done, but we want to specify the gravel and all the pervious materials that go under there per the manufacturer's specs. And also the maintenance that's required per the manufacturer's recommendation.
Don, can I interrupt you real quick? Board yes. members, this is Bronson. This is something that won't come before you very often because the only single family homes that come before the Planning and Zoning Board are those which are lakefront lots, but we do have a maximum amount of pervious and impervious surface for each single family home that we have a pretty rigorous review process for each single family home that's reviewed by planning, building, public works, water, moist water. And so though we may not see the fruits of your labor very often, because usually on the lake front, it's going to be natural turf coming down into a swale. This is something that's a pretty big day-to-day item for us. Thus our need to finish this up and have this on the books. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay. And I will just say that the city is considering doing more ball fields, and you know, we're as pervious as we made the last football field that the city permitted through St. John's. We were still required to do retention ponds. So we're having to go through that for our own installation, but this is simply for the private installations. And I'll let Troy or Matt chime in on anything they want to add.
Yeah, it may be good to go through the changes that you've made since the last time we saw this. Don, I know that it was, might have been a little scattered, and so whatever changes you all have made since then to make it easy to understand for the okay. installer, the homeowner, that sort of thing.
Okay, so that's pretty simple. It came to you the first time as it would be permitted only as an impervious surface. So that is cut and dry, just like I said before, installing concrete. When you're adding impervious to your property, you have to store or capture the runoff from that impervious area. So that's the only thing that you were looking at the first time it came to you. And this particular, the B section of this ordinance covers all the pervious requirements, what requirements would be to make it pervious. And you'll see, obviously, we need to pull permits to install it, otherwise we will have no control. The backing on number two is a uniform backing of a woven material, which we want the whole back of the turf to be consistent. Every square inch needs to be the same. Number three, the permeability at 30 inches per hour, which is pretty standard for regular turf. Number four, underlying material. I talked about that, the gravel and the drain field rock. Number five is the agreement. This is something that's a little bit unusual. We do this for materials and systems that we can't control from the city, which we can't obviously inspect anything like this. So we would require the owner to enter an agreement for the maintenance of that turf. And it, there's some maintenance required on all of it, including the one that we have out of the football field. So the agreement will be, you know, executed with the property owner and recorded with Orange County.
Okay, Don, if I could interrupt, if someone does not properly maintain an agreement, how is that first determined? And second, are there penalties or remedies for that?
In the agreement for the maintenance, we haven't developed yet, but we would require that it be maintained and reports be submitted to the city. If we don't receive those reports that the maintenance activities are happening, the city can assume that it's not being maintained. We can go out and inspect it. And if it's failing, we have the right to remove it at the owner's expense.
Okay, so it would just be like any other violation.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And can I ask that anyone who's not actively speaking mute their microphone? We're getting a lot of noise in the background. And Mr. Chairman, as this is your meeting to run, and you have more experience than many of the other folks, did you have any discussion items or anything?
You mean related to this? You know, I read this and I thought they did a really good job. I think Troy and Don did it. They listened to us last time. Last time it was, you know, it wasn't ready. This time it is. They simplified it. They've got options. They didn't vilify it. They've got it down to where, you know, I think we all were agreed that a permit should be required. That's good. You give a chance to prove that you're using this high-end stuff that is pervious. And if you don't, then it's deemed impervious. And I think that's proper. I think the way they've written this, it's there's not a lot of ambiguity. And I would have no problem passing this as written right now. There's probably, you could have put more points of clarification in here, but those will be things that builders, developers, and homeowners will simply ask when they go to get the permit, and they'll get all the information they need. So I think it's very well written. I think this second version is one you could take to the public.
Very good. Yeah, I think not having it sandwiched in there with the lot grading ordinance helps to keep it separate as well. So since we're talking about future meetings now that the meeting is open, we will have this on the this will be on your March agenda. Since your packet goes out today, part of it may already be headed out the door. This month's agenda, Allison, if you want to repeat what we've got on there.
Yep, we got two lakefront site plan requests, and then the establishment of the zoning and future land use of the properties over on Kentucky Avenue that we annexed a few months ago.
Very good. So slightly shorter than the last one, I think I can officially say. And then we have two people who have gone through the qualification period for running for mayor. So we'll start to see more of that. With our new sign ordinance, we'll start to see, I think we already have started to see the standard size political signs. And other than that, not much of an update from staff. Don or Troy, anything else you wanted to hit on from the turf standpoint?
No, what day is the meeting in March? What date?
March 2nd.
I believe Mr. Beitsch had his hand up.
Oh.
Now I don't see him.
Did he give up on us?
I don't know. I don't see him now.
Bronx, what was the reasoning for McGreeter tabling or delaying their meeting at the commission?
Lots of last minute items, discussion items, ideas, which happens sometimes where you send out notice and it's pretty quiet until about the day that the packet goes out, and then all of a sudden a lot coming in. There's some people who have some ideas that would want to do some traffic mitigation, none of which has been vetted. I mean, the area in which they're wanting to make improvements is currently not in Winter Park city limits. The application didn't include those areas as a part of the annexation. And as somebody who joined their webinar last night, there are a lot of people on a lot of different pages and with that development. So it needs some time for people to discuss. I mean, removing access on a road that leads to a elementary school obviously is not something you can throw in there last minute without some pretty major analysis. And there's, you know, police, fire have issues with that sort of thing. So a lot of late stuff coming in that, you know, I don't like for, and the commission doesn't like for these things to be negotiated up on the dais. And so it was pretty clear they needed some more time for their development team to work with the neighborhood on trying to find a solution.
Y'all see a lot more stuff coming in that area. That property is kind of a weird one because unlike down where Carolina is, at least you had a road behind. I was disturbed by Rebecca Wilson saying that they looked at an option to go three stories and eliminate going into the neighborhood further, but our codes and ordinances didn't allow but two stories there. And I just wonder if we shouldn't be understanding better what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe we can fix it.
I would agree that this is not going to be a unique one. The good thing is we ran the infrastructure to allow this type of redevelopment. And though we all love, you know, the spaceship when you get off the I-4 exit, it's kind of iconic. What Magruder was proposing is a very nice looking building, but in order to meet our codes, because we count structured parking as floor area. If you are a business, you know, medical office takes a pretty good amount of parking. I mean, if it's just the parking, that was the biggest thing, is the amount of parking required for a business that size. That's why all that area was needed. That it looks like it goes way back into the neighborhood, but if you look at it compared to where Carolina is, it's kind of right on the same plane.
Yeah, it was the one that went across the street behind Centricare Kids that really kind of bothered
Yeah,
me.
That one's probably the most unique one just because it's part of a cul-de-sac.
We just have been pushing so hard, and every time Jeff gets up and talks about it, we spent all this money to put the sewer in and try to get Fairbanks to look better, and then there we go limiting kind of what we can put in across there.
I think it's it may be a good thing for somebody to propose a project, you know, maybe – I don't know if this one's the right one to show that if they were able to do a parking deck that's very small, you know, a ground level plus one, that instead of all that being wall right next to the edge of the homes, you could have a a very big vegetative buffer or something like that. And, you know, 14 feet is how tall the parking structure would be. And the building itself would be, you know, 30 plus. And so I think it'd be good to explore at some point if somebody came in with a proposal such as that. The ones on Carolina, we wouldn't want to see, you know, those parking lot areas. We are anticipating those be ground level parking because it's the least impactful on the folks behind them. But Magruder's is it really is. It's just a lot of parking that they require. And they may come with a different idea that, you know, we're certainly open to new ideas all the time. So.
Well, Bronx, it also gets expensive, as you know, once you start dealing with structured parking. And so
yes.
Of one level is going to make economic sense from the applicant's perspective.
You know? It's, yeah, there's so that balance.
Just, yep.
If it, you know, Magruder's big enough that it may work with them, you know, 28,000 square feet. But if you're doing, say, 9,000, Mr. Spencer, I know you'd probably deal with this as well as a contractor. You'd look at it and it'd be hard to make it work for something of that size. You know, with the cost of construction and that sort of thing. So,
I just raise that point because we need to kind of manage some expectations as to what's possible and what's not possible.
Yeah.
And reasonable. So just as a thought, not just for the Magruder project, but for future ones.
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
Dr. Bice. Like we should study that a little bit.
Yeah, I think Dr. Bice, you're next on this one, but we've had some very good discussions on actually related to Orange Avenue that really have a lot more to do than just with Orange Avenue. We've had David Lamb, a local contractor, come in who kind of knows a lot about the pricing and cost of this and that. We had Bill Finfrock come and give Park and Garage 101, which I learned a lot from, and then some other people who have talked about the, you know, if you are going to go the parking garage route, here's all the things that have to line up for that. So I would agree, Mr. Spencer, that maybe we want to see if some of those folks would come chat with us here at PNZ. We could, as you are the ones who are typically tasked with doing more of the heavy lifting before it gets to the commission, I would be happy to set that up. And I think Dr. Bice has had his hand up for a while.
Yeah, thank you. I had some real technical problems this morning. So I don't want you to repeat the conversation. That's not what I need you to do, but I do need a 2 second to establish context for what you were talking about from Magruder. I feel like I heard something got turned down because of parking, but that's all I understand. So a very, very quick synopsis, please.
Oh, they tabled the item for 2 weeks, the applicant's choice. And then I stated that they held a meeting last night with the neighborhood, and it was clear that they still have some pretty big things to work out to all be on the same page before it gets to commission. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Allison, anything else we had on the agenda today?
Nope.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, is there anything else that you or anybody else has? We may have a record quick meeting here.
If I could, Ross, I would like to, the very last thing I heard was about the economics of structured parking. And again, I don't really know what gave rise to the decision to, you know, attempt to modify plans. I will share a personal opinion. The Magruder situation is not your typical 5, 10, or 20,000 square foot building. So the comment that was made, which is correct, obviously, structured parking costs way more than surface parking. I think that's a given. The comparison was to some of the buildings that are either smaller or perhaps even in the Orange Avenue overlay. I don't know that those are apt comparisons. I am perfectly fine with the Magruder plan. I want to say that. But I also think that particular 28,000 square foot building, peculiar to the specific use that's in place, is probably economically for the kind of activity that will occur inside that building, is probably a lot more able to absorb that cost than a comparable retail building of 28,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. 28,000 square feet of retail may or may not require similar parking. I'm not even going to address that, but the economics of a small retail 28,000 square foot retail space are functionally very, very different than this Magruder operation. I don't know that it's appropriate for us to consider that in our analysis, but I think, again, I'm making a statement for the record. I think they're not really comparisons. Well, they are comparisons, very, very different types of structures and activities.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bornstein.
Yeah, this is a totally different subject, but since the overlay was just mentioned, I was wondering if we had an update on that, when we might be seeing that, and if we have any idea, hopefully we'll have a couple workshops on it to get everybody up to speed.
We certainly will. We have on the 14th of December, staff sent out kind of the package of everything that we've worked on, reworked up to this point, and then asked for the commission to provide us markups, comments, and that sort of thing. We now have a few of those, and we're updating the language. We've had work sessions that have been very, very helpful as far as getting an understanding of some pretty important topics. I've kind of said from the very beginning, the economics of this thing, it's irresponsible of us to create a prescriptive sort of code that doesn't make economic sense. And based on the type of uses, the uses allowed, the sizes, when we count parking garage FAR, just a lot of different things. And so we've just had kind of a good panel of experts coming in for open discussion with the commission. And I think it's been really helpful. Now we're kind of in that final language tweaking area. We know the big things that that this commission is not fans of or wanted changed, and we've the drafts we have out there, we've made those changes, and we're going to continue to kind of fine tune things. And I'd like to think that February, March, we can start getting you all up to speed on what we've been doing for the last, year. And start to have some discussions with you all about what's going to be coming up. And then at some point we will send out when the commission feels that it's ready, citywide notice will go out, and that will start the official public process. But we also have we're trying to find the best platform to have virtual public open house meetings that where people can see a product, and you know, some of our consultants have done some work in terms of traffic, transportation, some in terms of you know, economic analysis, some in terms of different scales of some of the buildings on how they could look on those properties. That those are what's so tough, is you take a certain amount of square footage and you take the lot size and you put a building on there, and it's not, you know, it's just a pretty picture, or it's just a 3D model that may or may not work, and it's not what's being proposed by the applicant. So it can be tough because people look at it and say, oh, that's terrible, but it's not being designed by an architect. It's just somebody in SketchUp sticking a big square building on there. So we'll have a open house on traffic, and then one on scale, and then a general open house. And we're kind of playing around with different meeting technology platforms on how we can do that. Say we had a crowd of a couple hundred people. People wanted to be interactive, ask questions. Some platforms are going to be a little bit better and easier than others. So those are planned for mid-February. And we'll certainly give you a heads up on those. And once the public has had a chance to have all their input, we'll start having input from you all as well, so that we're ready to go with the citywide notice process when the commission feels it's appropriate.
Okay. All right. I don't think we have anything else future to talk about, do we? I think we're queued up for a pretty quick, should be brief, unless things change on the February meeting. And do we have any other work sessions scheduled that is relevant with a topic at this time, other than just a placeholder?
Yep. So next month, your February work session, you'll be having a meeting to talk about the sustainability action plan. So our sustainability folks are going to come speak to you, and we'll send you some backup materials so you're prepared for that discussion.
That's good. Yeah, that'll be worthwhile. That'll be a good session.
All right. Allison, is that a joint meeting with the Keep Winter Park Beautiful committee as well?
I'm not sure if it, I think, yes, it is going to be. Yes.
Because that's how it showed up on the invitation. So I wanted to just.
Yeah, we did that with our transportation advisory board last meeting we had with them to discuss the sustainability plan. So seemed to work pretty well.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody else on the board? Any other open questions? Anybody? Good time to ask. Ellen? Okay. Bronce, I think we're done, unless you have anything else. Allison, anything? All right.
Thank you all.
Okay, guys. Thank you all. Bye. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Yep.